Romans. Let's talk. So last month we did four sessions on Romans 1. This is Romans chapter 2. So what we're trying to do is hit the high points in a very complex and challenging book of the Bible, and to bring out some ideas that may be an encouragement to you, that may help you grow in your faith and help you understand some of the things that are in God's Word. So if we look at the first five verses, so this is Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, for part 1 here. The question that is asked is, what is a religious moralist? What is a religious moralist? And somebody out there is saying, what in the world is he talking about? Who cares? Okay, so this could be rather important to you. There's two really important points here that may apply directly to you. So when we did chapter 1, we found out that those that look around them at the world that's created, nature, animals, the plants, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, all those things that are created, if we look at those things and deny that there's a God in chapter 1, those folks have no excuse because all they have to do is look around and know that there's a God. So here in chapter 2, we're not talking about those people that look around. We're talking about you. So here's verse 1 through 5. Therefore, you have no excuse. Pardon me? You have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Those are the things listed in chapter 1. If you're unclear of what we're talking about, go back and read all those terrible things that people do. So verse 3 says, do you suppose, O man, that you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Some scary stuff in that passage. So your conscience should reveal the truth to you, what's going on in your heart of hearts, in your mind, in your self-examination. Whereas in chapter 1, it was the world looking and not seeing God in the creation around them. And so in chapter 2, we're talking about what's going on inside of you, your conscience. Do we practice the same things we criticize others for? Ask yourself that question. Do we practice the same things we criticize others for? Or do we practice them to some degree or in some secret way? Maybe we don't openly express them, but mentally we ponder them and fantasize over it. We may think about what it would be nice to do, what those are doing, even though we don't do it ourselves. Outwardly, we avoid the sin and appear righteous to others. We can put on our church face and look real religious when we go to church. But what is happening inside of your heart of hearts? So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatsoever you do or say, do all to his glory. Whatever you do or say, do all to his glory. So if we look just for a second at what John MacArthur says about this in verse 1. There we go. Both Jews and moral Gentiles, those that think they are exempt from God's judgment because they have not indulged in immoral excesses described in chapter 1, are tragically mistaken. To say to yourself, okay, I don't do that. You can look at the list in chapter 1. I don't do that. I must be okay. What's going on in your mind and in your heart of hearts? Those that have studied the Word and been taught from the Word have more knowledge than those that have never heard. And those folks, therefore, have greater responsibility. So the religious moralist makes two kinds of mistakes. See if you can identify with any of these. So here's number one, using good behavior as a means of satisfying God's righteous judgment. Using good behavior as a means of satisfying God's righteous judgment. well, I like to do this over here, and so then I'm going to go over there, and I'll just work extra hard this week doing stuff at church. Maybe I'll park cars and rake leaves or clean toilets, and that'll counterbalance that for the errors and the sin that's in my heart of hearts. That's false. That's not the way to satisfy the Lord. Now, number two is to rationalize or minimize my sin. And lots of folks do this. I have done it in my past. Everyone does this. So what? They don't get in trouble for it. Everybody does this. Even people that go to our church, we know they do this or they think that. Those folks are judged just like you are. So those are the religious moralists that have missed the point. So don't quench your conscience. Don't shove your conscience down. Repent, turn from those thoughts and those actions. Trust Christ for what he has done for you on the cross. Faith alone in Christ alone, not in any aspect of yourself. To satisfy the justice of a living God, ask yourself, what is in my heart? What's really in my heart? So, Father, I pray that those that are listening would look inside themselves and make sure that inside themselves their motivation is to please you, to live the righteous life with the power of the Holy Spirit that's in their life, and not make excuses, but confess to you and confess to others their need for your salvation. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.